Welcome to the New Earth Architectress, where we'll be exploring together what is an architectress, what is the New Earth, and how is the evolution in consciousness paving the way for your leading role in architecture. I'm your host, Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I'm so excited to share with you what's possible when you lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and your divine calling. If you're a woman architect or designer who's hearing a deep call to take your stand as an ancient temple builder of the future, welcome. Now is the time, and we are the ones. Hello, and welcome to the next episode of the New Earth Architectress podcast. I have a very special guest with us today. Her name is Sandy Humby. She is a space alchemist. She does space alchemy and rose alchemy, and she's going to share with us her unique modality of working with the spirit of place, working with very unique energies that are supporting us in these very challenging and transformative times. She is an expert in interiors, in spatial alchemy, in creating sanctuaries for people who really hear the call to ground in their soul's calling, their soul's purpose, and lead a life filled with abundance and love and peace. And she's particularly, she's a very powerful guide when it comes to the divine feminine, awakening the divine feminine as well. Sandy has been on the Sacred Blueprint interview series several times now. She's a very valuable collaborator, and it's an absolute blessing to have you on the show today, Sandy. Welcome.
Oh, thanks, Aisha. And we always have such a rich carousel of conversation when we come together. Yeah. And it's so lovely because coming from sort of slightly different facets of the diamond, if you like, but with that same sort of visionary imprint of what this time is about and what our connection is with Mother Earth and how we come into this collaborative, co-creative aspect of visioning in the future, visioning in a different way of showing up on the earth and the impact that that has on our physical, mental, and emotional well-being, but also our spiritual alignment, our soul's calling, that is part of our incarnational script. So it's fascinating. It's like, where and what? Where are you going to show up on the planet? And what are the gifts that you bring in your tool bag?
Yeah. Where are you going to show up on the planet? And what are the gifts? Yeah. Oh, I love how you talked about that, you know, that it's like different facets of the same diamond. I do feel also very connected that we're connected to this essence of, building beauty on this planet, not the kind of beauty that's about the outer, a superficial kind of aesthetics, but a real cultivation of the beauty within, beauty within the land, and calling that forth and co-creating with it to build the sanctuaries of our future. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I think one of the biggest lessons and learnings for me over the last couple of years has been a real deepening of my connection to the elements and the elemental aspects of nature, and the fact that this vessel is of the earth. Every molecule of this vessel is of the earth. I am made up of earth, air, fire, and water in the same proportion that the earth is. And so it's a vessel for my soul and for spirit to be present in physicality on the earth plane. But it does bring us into an absolute humbleness of the construct that we may have grown up in. I mean, I grew up in the 50s and the 60s, and you know, the essence of our approach to the earth has woven lots of different channels, if you like, to its expression in that period of time. And there is a returning to the garden. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a Carly Simon song, isn't it? You know, returning to the garden. And this is really where we're going. We're going back to pick up this connection with the earth, connection to the sacred geometry of the earth, the sacred geometry of nature, and the difference that it feels when we are in a space that is congruent and is in geometric balance, and what that does on the body. We're really learning a lot of the ancient wisdom, relearning a lot of the ancient wisdom. You know, we went absolutely so far away.
Absolutely. Yeah, when you share that, you know, realigning, coming back to the garden, bringing back these geometries that are so connected, deeply connected with us and the earth, and reawakening that knowledge, remembering that knowledge, which has been so forgotten. And that's, as an architect, going through architecture school, being trained in a fairly modern, with the modern language, right? A few professors had the gift of really being able to help me to tune into inspiration and intuition and imagination. But for the most part, the school is a result of this forgetting, you know, not to forgetting the sacredness of life, forgetting the sacred proportions, the sacred geometries. And not that needs to always be plugged in like a formula, but to remember what those forms, those sacred forms hold in terms of, you know, doorways to the cosmos, doorways to the cycles of life, the elements. Exactly what you were sharing, what we are made of. And the work that I'm doing with the Sacred Blueprint is about reawakening that the power within us, that the wisdom is within us, that we can tap in at any moment to that information when we are connected with the elements, when we are journeying with the elements, when we are journeying with the earth and the sky and are in alignment with that axis, and all the shadow work and all the up and the muck, which I'm looking forward to you sharing today about your process. And I know that you are an expert in and have a gift in communicating with you could say the lower vibration thought forms. Some people would call them negative, but of course they are our teachers as well, right? And how you work with them. But before we get into that, we talk about sanctuary, Sandy, and you know, so many people these days, including myself, we're in the middle of a house construction. So I'm feeling it left, right, center, all around me, in me, this whole process of literally rebuilding my temple. And I say my, you know, my husband is involved, my son is involved, but I am bringing forth a certain level of consciousness to this house. And they're playing with me, you know, they're playing along with me, and they're helping me, you know, with the certain foundations of it. But, you know, in these very challenging times, Sandy, what do you think are the keys to finding our sanctuary?
Well, I mean, we know that this is the inner temple and this is the outer temple. So the work, as I see it, is always an inside job. It's like, where do we go within ourselves, where we can find this still point, where we can find this still place within us. And it is when we enter that kind of, I think it's what Drumble and Melchizedek called the tiny place at the heart. It's mm-hmm. like this, for this still place within us that allows us to be receptive. So much of our time we are spent in our interaction with what is going on outside, and maybe, you know, there's a lot of control or whatever that's going on needed, perhaps, to actually navigate our way through the complexity of this time in the evolutionary cycle of the earth, and what we're seeing playing out on the screen of our lives externally. So coming back within is the keynote, really, that enables us to find, if we can find sanctuary within, we will be able to find sanctuary wherever we are. And for me, that place of sanctuary has of recent times, well, certainly within the last 15 years, has been the rose and my connection with the rose and the light technology that the rose offers, the path of the Rosa Mystica, the pathway of home to the mystery of life. And ultimately, the mystery of life, of course, is the mystery of love. You know, this for me is what the heart of the rose brings us back to, this frequency of loving presence to all that's unfolding, all of it, because, you know, it has to be all held and seen as the unfolding that it is. But we need to find our point of reference and rest within that. And I know that for many of us that are walking this pathway of being co-creators for this new vision of Earth and how we show up on the earth and honoring what there is here, what Mother Earth brings to us. This pathway of coming into this place of stillness in relation to that enables us to be receptive to a level of consciousness that enables us to be in our best place in whatever we're co-creating, or whatever we are creating, whether that's baking a cake, whether that is designing the next level of space that we've got, or redesigning a space to be a supportive energy for us. We are in the best place because we're coming, you know, all action should come from stillness. And we are habituated to go from action to action to action to action. And it was the Armenian mystic Gurdjieff who talked about the wheel and the hub at the center of the wheel, and the fact that the hub is this still point in the center, which actually is, for me, is like the heart, right?
Yeah.
But our energy goes out on stuff, and we get caught out on the dance, on the
periphery of that,
on the edge of the wheel, and we go from the spoke point to spoke point to spoke point. When do we come back in and anchor back in to the core of who we are? To make it's like in breath and out breath,
right?
Coming back into the in breath and just being present. And maybe that's as simple as the sanctuary that we need to have as a constant reminder. Just that next breath, just that next breath. And just come back into the center. And even if I can only take two or three stilling breaths with consciousness before I have to, you know, because I've got a whole list of things that I've got to deal with, or, you know, I'm running to catch up with a whole load of things that I've got to do for family or for whatever. How do I just remember? How do I bring my conscious awareness just to bring that breath within and to feel my connection with the earth through my feet, down into the earth star, connecting in with these elemental rose dragons that I have been blessed to have connection with, these streams of consciousness that come through the earth that connect in and enable me to be this bridge, this vessel that is like an acupuncture point of light to bridge the higher dimensions of us. You know, each and every one of us have higher dimensions beyond what we present here, because we've had many lifetimes where we've had mastery in different things, and we've stored these in escrow waiting for the time when we can hold this fifth dimensional heart field
and pull that book from the library of wisdom, right, that we built up for so long.
But vibration is the key code that opens the gateway, that opens the door. And so everything is energy. And I think once we realize that, we become much more masters of our pathway.
Yeah.
Because we become very consciously aware, or we have the invitation to be more consciously aware of when we are off, when we're off kilter, when we're out of sync, and when we just need. I mean, I'm actually, which are wraps, but I also make mats, rose mats that you can sit on. And there have been times when I've had a rose mat sat on a particular chair in my living room. And every time I know that I've gone AWOL, there's stuff going on, I go and sit on the rose. I just sit on the rose, connect through my body to the energy of the rose mat, and breathe.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, reset, Sandra. Reset. So we find sanctuary wherever we can. And, you know, I think that, you know, obviously the more we are consciously aware of the fact that Mother Earth brings us everything that we need. And if we can surround ourselves with reminders of that, products that are natural, products that are made of wood, perhaps natural textiles, and then being consciously aware that we drink living water, you know, that we do the best for the water for us, because we are 70% water, as is Mother Earth, and you know, and as natural foods as we possibly can. So it's a whole, it's a wholeness, isn't it? Sanctuary is a wholeness. We can't have beautiful space and fill ourselves with rubbish.
Right. Right. Or, you know, have the perfect feng shui space when you're not doing the work yourself to harmonize maybe your meridians, or and this is not to say that, you know, we need to be perfect, and that this is, you know, that people, you will be judged or this or that, but this is what you shared, the wholeness. We're moving into this new paradigm where everything is connected. And what I love about this example that you just brought forward about your rose mat, first of all, I want to just open a parenthesis here. Can people access your rose mats? Do you sell them, or are they just?
I got one.
Do you have any on your website? I mean, I have everyone. I have Sandy's rose oracle deck, which is phenomenally powerful. It's incredible.
I can get a rose mat to show you, actually. Just a moment.
Sure. For those of you who are listening to the podcast episode, I encourage you to hop on over to my YouTube channel to see the rose mat that Sandy is now. Oh, yeah, beautiful. These are, they're stunning. Yeah.
So yeah, they're just... The silk, and silk is an insulative textile. So the way I started doing these was that I was teaching in New York several times a year. And so I would get on the flight here at Heathrow and fly off to New York. And then I'd have a series of talks and events and classes that I would be teaching over you know, 10 days, 2 weeks. And guidance, I got to download to print the roses onto silk. And I was hand printing them myself at one point through my little printer with fluids and things like that. And I used to sit on one on the flight. And I'd get on it, you know, in London and sit on my rose mat. And I'd get off in New York, and I'd be as bright when I got off as I was when I got on. Wow. And I realized that, well, I knew from my training in Arhatic yoga that silk is an intuitive textile. So, from a technical perspective, it doesn't allow negative energy to permeate, which is why the clergy wear silk and why the Mormons wear silk underwear. Yeah. Yes. So what's happening is, of course, you don't know who sat on the seat before you. You don't know. It's the same as if I'm traveling. If I'm traveling and I'm staying in a hotel, I don't know whose head went on that pillow before me.
Right.
And soft furnishings hold emotion.
They absorb, right? Different. Yeah.
They absorb it. So when I'm traveling, I put one of these on my pillow to sleep on. And I also put it on the seat on the aircraft, because I don't know the condition of the person that's last sat on there for 8 hours. You know,
fantastic.
You know, yeah. And of course, because we draw that energy up through the base chakra,
right?
Yeah, and it absorbs into the body. Anyway, a slight digression, but it's
a slight digression, and it's related to design. Though, I mean, there are a lot of interior designers that are listening to my podcast, and so what an incredible design idea, right? To infuse this energetic wisdom into your textiles, right? Whether it's for the home, whether it's for a public space, how can you start to use these visuals, geometries even perhaps, or smells, or like what Sandy was just talking about, using natural textile material. I mean, silk is of the earth. Silk is from this earth. And so, I'm sitting on my lamb's wool. This was a lamb's wool that I changed my son's diapers on. Yeah. And so it has a very, you know, important story for me. I use a lot of kilims with wool, Turkish kilims from wool and cotton and then the clay wall behind me, I got a great, some clay textures. So yeah, bringing all these elements are key. But
and the big scarves, I actually stretch them onto canvas so that they become silk artwork. This one is just hung, but it normally they're stretched onto canvas.
Like banners would be incredible.
Yeah. And it changes the frequency of space.
Yeah.
You put one of those in, and because they've got a connection to pentagram golden mean frequency, they completely upshift the energy of the space.
Yeah.
These are tools and technologies that if we use, are another good adjunct to keeping our space good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so when you were talking about this chair, the seat in the airplane, I thought, okay, well, this is an existing space. Mm-hmm. It's just on a small scale, right? Mm-hmm. It's existing. And Sandy, with her consciousness, is going, okay, so I'm going to be on this plane for 8, 10 hours, 4 hours, whatever the time is. Well, New York is far, so yeah, about that. And okay, how am I going to best create my sanctuary for this period of time with the simplest means? So if we were to actually now take this spatially as an example for an existing property, let's say, mm-hmm. Sandy, mm-hmm. You have helped many people to tune in, tap into the energetics of their environment, of a land that they have purchased, an existing home, existing shops. What, you know, you've worked on a lot of house healing and house harmonizing over the years. And so if we were to just now look at, okay, from the chair to the existing space and place, what kind of energies do you encounter when you are guiding your clients towards building their sanctuaries? What kind of energies are you working with, transmuting, holding space for when you do your space alchemy work?
I think the first thing is that I absolutely trust that whoever calls me is frequency aligned to what I can offer. That's my first piece. But my particular area of mastery, if you like, is in recognizing the frequency of the space. How attuned is that to the client? And what is there that's residue? What is there that the space is wanting to reveal? And certainly at this particular point in our evolutionary journey, where there is a rising of the photonic light on the planet, there is a rising of the frequency of the Earth, what I'm finding is that a lot of my work is involving spirit release, stuck, traumatized emotional storylines that are connected in. So there are two different energies that hang around in houses for me, and this is my primary go-to. Before I start with anything else, any other rebalancing, it's like, what is there? What is there in the space that either is impacting the client's energy and well-being, or is likely to if they purchase the property but not moved in, or they're planning a major refurbishment, or even if they're going to knock the property down and rebuild? Because I've also found that the energetic imprint that is residue doesn't disappear if a property's been knocked down. It stays there in the energetic fields. So my first go-to is, what is here in the space? Is there residue spirit energy? Is there residue entity energy? And these are two very different things in my language. So spirit energy for me has had a consciousness just like you or I. And at the time of passing, at the time of leaving the physical body, there was unprocessed emotional trauma in the heart field, which, and we know some people will wait till a certain person comes in the room before they can leave, or they will be in coma for several days, which I sense is a processing of the life story to come to peace. You know, Anubis in the Egyptian pantheon weighed the heart against
one of
a feather.
My favorite guides.
We are meant to have hearts as light as feathers at the end of our lives.
Yeah.
And if we don't, there is the possibility that as we come to leave, a fragment of the heart field, which was unresolved, had not come to peace, will go back to where the trauma occurred, where the seed trauma occurred, not where they passed, but they'll go back to where the seed trauma occurred. The other thing is, the other aspect to that energy is what I call entity energy. And that is created through negative thought form. So like Dr. David Hawkins' book, Power versus Force, there is a calibration chart on there, in there, that talks about the lower frequency energies, emotional energies that stem from fear, ultimately, because there's love or fear, right? Which way are you going to go? So fear will create sort of anger, resentment, bitterness, sadness, grief. It will often have a depression aspect to it, or it could be long-term sickness. All of these things leave a residue in the field. It's like, I've been to a lot of houses, or quite a few houses, where people have said, I don't know why, but we always argue in that room, never anywhere else.
Right.
So it's like an accident black spot. right? Yeah. So somebody at some point had a really big accident in there.
Hmm.
And we know this when we walk into a room. We go, well, the air was blue, or you could cut the air with a knife. We our bodies read it. We read that energy. Yeah. Just like going into a house and going, this is a really happy house, or get me out of here. This isn't for me. This doesn't feel good. The entity energy just gives a flavor, but entity energy will feed on the emotional imprint that has kept the spirit stuck. And entity energy can only feed on the frequency of emotion that created it.
Mm.
So if it was created from anger, it will only feed on anger. If it was created through intense fear, it will only feed on intense fear. And it wants more of it because that's gourmet dinner. So it would try right. and
it feeds generate. Off of it. Yeah.
So that's my first go-to. What's residue in the space? Because there's no point in doing feng shui here or, you know, painting this wall, you know, something amazing, or expanding the space if there initially is stuck spirit energy in there. And often I will find that the story, because I've become quite adept at being able to work with this and communicate with this energy, you know, I'll often get a date, and I'll often get maybe sometimes a name,
right?
Which is really fun to get correlated by the local archives. Often the emotional trauma that the spirit energy holds will be a pattern match for the client. Because when the client bought the house, they bought it with the complete story. Their spectrum of vibration of their conscious and unconscious mind and experience matched the house at some level. And it will always be interesting to see who chose the house, because who chose the house will have the emotional connection to the residue energy in there. So a lot of my work when I'm working with clients, the first thing is to sit and listen to the stories that the client is telling you about how they came to buy the house.
Such an important one.
What the story was. Often I'll get some really interesting information if I'm actually going to do an on-site. Is it straightforward to find? Do I get lost? You know, how does it feel? You know, it's all of this sort of background information that comes from the unseen realms, really, first. And yet the more we purify this vessel, more that we refine our connection with this vessel, the more we are able to read the template, read the information, to be able to work with our clients or with our own spaces. We become very refined. I've got a dear friend in New Jersey who is both a space clearer but a realtor. And she's had to sort of buckle up, buttercup, before doing a whole series of house showings, because you're in and out of all of these energies. And, you know, if you're sensitive, it's like, whoa, you know,
right?
Yeah, but there's a lot of mop up.
Lots of mop up, isn't it? Yeah, she's just consistently kind of like the cleaning lady, right? Like,
absolutely. So, so that's my first go-to, is to sit and listen to what the client's saying and what the client's not saying. Yeah. And then be able to, I'll always have a good idea before I even turn up. Or if I'm working remotely, working off the plans.
Right.
I've just been working with a big mansion house here in the UK that the owner and his wife live in one of the flats, in the basement flat. But there's 27 other flats on the property. And I knew I could work with their place So this is again where you look, you know, you've got much bigger properties and more complex situations. But there were 17 other spirit energies at different places in this huge.
I mean, there's just so many rooms available.
Well, exactly. And you know, and there was no way that I was going to get 27 flat owners to agree to what I was going to do. So that it's been it my development of my different processes for doing things has had to accommodate anything from a studio apartment to quite a sizable property. How with integrity do I approach this? How is this going to be in best service to the client? And it's fascinating. But, you know, a property that's been there since the 1500s, and the oldest part of the building is from the 1200s, because there was an Elizabethan building on the site to start with. And knowing that the dismantling of a property, whether it was burnt down or whether it was knocked down, doesn't remove the storyline.
Yeah, it's just the physical. It's the last stop. Yeah.
Yeah. But so you become a bit like a forensic detective, you know? It's like, what's the story here? You know, and you're going back into the archive of the land and the evolution of society. And and a lot of my work of recent times has been in the States, and I'm working with a lot of the native peoples and the land. I seem to have attracted a whole flurry of consultations that I
connected with
spirit release of trauma with native peoples, and connecting back into the Tequesta and the Ut and the Shoshone and the Arapaho, Mi'kmaq, and offering beyond the confines of the client's consultation a bigger service in releasing the trauma field. And that, you know, in these times is lightening the load for all of us, really. So
we come back to sanctuary, exactly. Wow, it's beautiful how you're sharing the, that your approach can be applied to, you know, anywhere from a small flat to a very sizable large mansion property that's had various layers of built existence on it. And I appreciate your distinction between the entity and the spirit energy, which is an earthbound spirit that is most likely, right, when you're called to the project, is probably ready to be guided onto to the next dimension, into the light.
But it's sacred witnessing, Aisha, that, you know, that's the place. It's like, well, where am I in myself? Can I hold sacred witnessing to the trauma? And can I, through that place of unconditionality within myself, enable that spirit fragment to return back home?
Yeah.
The you can't do that with entity. Entity was not created by light, so it has no concept of light. So you can't do that with that.
There's a certain commanding that is required with that energy that I have experienced. Mm-hmm. On behalf of the human being, on behalf of the client, right?
Absolutely. And it's also, you know, that I deal with the spirit energy first. The spirit energy is gourmet dinner. Right. So once the gourmet dinner has gone, there's
what am I going to feed off of now?
Yeah, it's a diminishment of the field.
Right.
That is pretty helpful, really.
You know, there's a lot of women that approach me, or even women that I'm mentoring, who really, you know, architects, interior designers, women who have been trained in more or less the conventional way, but they're hearing the call, right? Their divine feminine is really rising within, and they're on the precipice of really stepping into a new way of being where they fully express their spiritual truth, right? With no inhibition, with no fear of being persecuted or shunned from society, ostracized. And, you know, all that you are talking about for me, I mean, it's so natural. Whereas, I mean, with the sacred blueprint, I work a lot with the nature spirits. We work with connecting with the heart of the land and partnering with nature, partnering with the spirit of the land in order to co-create the blueprint for the architecture.
Yeah. Yep.
And I know that you do that work as well. And we've been doing it for quite some time, it feels almost like second nature. It's like, well, why would it's so practical? It's so practical at this point. It results in a much more laser precise birthing process, rather than, you know, you can imagine at the architect's studio, right? The amount of time that it takes to design a house, layout over layout, option over option, you know, well, we could do it like this, we could do it like that, this shape, that form, you know. Clients are bringing in images from different magazines and, you know, online sites and saying, well, this is what I want, that's what I want. But your approach, for what I'm hearing is that it really helps to open the way for your clients' true souls to take a seat within that space in order to shape it in the most beautiful aligned way possible for the land and themselves. But what I was trying to get at here is there's a lot of women who are fearful of talking about this with their clients. And, you know, sounds like you're getting clients from different shapes and sizes, you know, everything from a mansion to maybe, you know, a spiritual center of some kind to, and how has it been supportive? Has it been helpful for these people to build the vision that they're wanting to build? I mean, I know that some of your projects are really not only about building something new. It may be a renovation, it may be just the house harmonizing aspect, but
yeah. Well, it's interesting.
Next
week, my job next week is on an old mill that's being redesigned and rebuilt.
Perfect example.
In Spain, and in northern Spain, sort of. And part of the work initially will be to clear the residue energies.
Because the
rebuild is proving to be very slow. So it's really about you know, making sure that the template is clear. There isn't any in anything that's inhibiting the actual process of the visioning and the development and bringing this property and the land back to life, actually, because it's overlay after overlay. When you're looking at what's gone on the land over the eons, the residue to get back to the true beating heart of space, it's just like the journey back home, this sacred homecoming to self, to the true beating heart and the essence of who we are. And at some level there is a real sense that we have to stand on the land and listen wholeheartedly to what the land is whispering, sometimes very loudly, but
right. Sometimes very angrily, right? Yeah.
But that, you know, if you stand and you have, so this is really what I'm saying with architects and designers that are knowing that their gifts are designed to be out there within this new paradigm of visioning and how we look at holistic architecture, how we look at form, how we look at the way that property sits and melds with the land, that it where it is, it's held, and there is a oneness within the wholeness within the property and its relation to the land. This is all about frequency. This is all about relationships. And this really has got to be the keynote of what brings us into an alignment going forward. All is frequency. So when we're in that place in ourselves, when we're in this vertically aligned place in ourselves, and we can go and stand on the land, we can feel through the soles of our feet. If we ask the question, and so much even with dowsing, whether you're using dowsing rods or whether you're using the body as the dowser, it's about being able to feel the frequency. And if you ask the question of the land, where is the right place on this land for me to build?
Hmm.
Where is the earth going to welcome this vision I have of a dwelling for my heart on this piece of land? Where is aligned? If you walk it, the earth will tell you.
The earth
and it will
tell
either
you.
Tell you in signs and symbols of what you see with eyes, the eye behind the eyes, of what you see on the form and the messages of the land, or just through walking the land and getting still. The stiller you are, the better. The less chitter chatter going on here, the better.
Right. Yeah.
But if you can come to actually allow yourself, to sink into the energy of the land, to come one with the land, it will absolutely tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And it will tell you the orientation.
Yes.
When you have to stand and look one way, feel the energy. Stand and turn and the other way. Feel the energy. Where does my energy field expand? Where does it contract?
Yeah.
And actually, it's just that simple. What expands my energy and what contracts my energy? And I mean, it's the same if we go to look at a house, really. We can walk around the house. Does my energy field expand in here? Or does it contract in here? If it contracts, I'll get sick. Or it's calling me to tell me that this is right, but I'm going to have to do some clearing work before it.
Right.
You know, it's going to align for me, and it's a consciousness. It's a field of focus that enables us to be vessels to co-create with Mother Earth and to align ourselves with Spirit, and that's really. That's it. We're acupuncture points of light on this planet. And if our gift is in creating beautiful dwellings, then that alignment brings us into that sense of expansion when we're presented with that opportunity. And it isn't about doing it the old way. I mean, for someone who is energetically sensitive, you've only got to look at some of the cutting edge architecture in the name of architecture that's been put into our cities that actually is totally destructive on the human energy field.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, it's not life sustaining.
Yeah. It's just a bunch of theatrics with lines and forms and colors and whatever, or non-color. Most of it is dark gray or black or right, and very sharp. There's a lot of sharp energies. There's some that are more organic, but then also they go overboard with the organic, and there's too much movement, and you don't have a sense of grounding. right? Yeah. So how do you, absolutely, I think this is, I would recommend all the women who hear the call who are energetically sensitive to do a few case studies. I do that with my clients of several, select a few buildings downtown, wherever it is in the countryside, wherever it could be. It could be just down your street, and take a look at, you know, three of your neighbors' houses and stand in front of it. How does it make you feel? Right? Yes. At the threshold. Speak with the being of the being of the building.
Yeah.
What is it saying to you? Yeah.
Yeah. And then let that be your lead. Not only is
exactly
what,
and
whatever the
We do have a little bit of a delay. We had a storm here. I'm talking about the internet connection. We had a storm, so there might be a bit of a delay in the recording. Thank you all for your patience with your ears with the little blips and the other piece also, Sandy, that you're sharing is that's so important that I'm hearing in between the lines is, you know, especially when you're talking about, okay, well, we can feel with our bodies. Yes, it's beautiful to have a pendulum. Yes, it's beautiful to have the dowsing rods and to practice with these tools, but they are only indicators of the information that is already running through our bodies and indicators that we, in fact, just like you said, we are acupuncturists of light ourselves. And as women, I feel that in this time, with the rising of the divine feminine, that gift is being turned on in all of us. And yes, of course, that gift exists in men as well, but there's something particularly special about these times. And in fact, us women, we really have the extra responsibility to listen to our womb wisdom, such forces of creation working through our wombs. The rose cards really helped me with that, Sandy. Listening to our hearts, listening to the mother wisdom. Even you don't have to be a mother or not a mother with a child for that, to tap into that energy. And we have the sensing feel, we have the feeling energy. And when you're an architect and an interior designer and you're not fully tapping that power, you are going to drain yourself, deplete yourself. I, for so long, was suffering from chronic illness because I was not doing what I was meant to do. And that is to be an architect that bridges spirit with form. And it's the future. It's the future. And I, you know, I'm calling just like, I want all the women who are hearing the call to cross over and to start to build with the earth in this way. And so Sandy is an incredible, incredible model for us all. She started many years back, was one of the pioneers in working with energy and spirit and transforming and healing people's environments through this very unique modality. And look at her. She's got tons of work now from in very different parts of the world. So you can do it too. Yeah.
You know, absolutely. And, you know, I think it does take courage, because actually you're stepping out of an old paradigm of very mental, stimulus, using a lot of the mind to construct what is exciting, what is, you know, what is innovative, what nobody has done before. But actually what we're looking at is something that is life sustaining, that actually people that are living in these spaces and working in these spaces are creatively optimized, are emotionally and physically held within beauty. And what that does is it expands. It expands the heart. It expands our sense of who we are here. And I agree with you, Aisha. I think that women in particular are here now to be visionaries in this new paradigm of expression, creative expression in the world. And it's interesting that a lot of the men within the design field are often gay men, and they have got a strong feminine aspect running within them that has a sense of beauty that is part of the natural expression in the world. And for us as women, we're having to step out of a predominantly masculine dominated world.
The unbalanced masculine.
The old paradigm of what masculine energy has been corralled into being, because that's what it's been over the years, whether that's in architecture school, whether that's in medical school, wherever this is. It's been a top down control. You know, this is the direction that we're futuristic direction that we're going into, that is not holistic to the human form. And where it might have stretched the extremes of what is possible to create in form. You know, what is going to be the pivot point of a building that's got an overhang? You know, how you know, the actual physicality of that. But it's, you know, and I mean, you can look at that in Frank Lloyd Wright's work in Falling Water. You know, he was looking much more at the Japanese type piece, wasn't he? But in what the construct was, but it, you know, it's also what's my relationship with my inner world and my outer world. Mm. And it's the same as a house. What's the relationship between the heart of the house and the surroundings? Mm. Are the two in harmony? Are the two in communication? I mean, for me, when I'm looking at design, I'm always looking at what is framing the window and what's through the window.
Yeah.
And how they're in communication, because they've got to be in communication in order for there to be harmony in the view.
Oh, so many details to bring back into our awareness that have been lost as a result of this, you could call it the patriarchy, you could call it the unbalanced masculine, you could call it the old paradigm, whatever you want to use.
Even with interiors, Aisha, with color, I'm looking at what the color relationship is outside the window and inside the window. What's the relationship one to the other? But also from the coloring in the property, is that harmonic to the property, where it expands the auric field of the property? Is the property happy with the color? But also, what does that color do to the energy field of the client? Is it harmonic with the client? It's all frequency, you know. And it's the same with artwork and everything that we choose to have in and around us. What is it doing here?
Oh, so key.
Expand or contract.
I hope everyone is taking notes as they listen to this podcast. Sandy is such a wise, amazing teacher. And I love how you share a lot of your teachings through visuals, you know, like the wheel with, you know, Gurdjieff's wheel with the center. And it's just, you bring up a lot of vision. It's a very visual way of teaching. And it really lands with me, as I'm sure it will with architects and designers, right? Because we're such visual people. So there's so much more that I'm curious about in the last, 5 minutes, 5, 10 minutes, Sandy. We'd love to hear what you're up to. You also mentioned about, the rose dragons. You have this rose oracle deck. Mm-hmm. These 18 elemental and celestial rose dragons. Yes. And what are you feeling called to share? And I would love to hear about some of your upcoming events or offerings, what you're up to. Yeah.
Well, I suppose that, the probably the thing to share most is the fact that, to recognize where we get called, recognize when we get a real feeling that we need to move, or we need to be living on a certain place on the planet. So many of us are getting so much more sensitive. And I think in the last exchange that we had on the Sacred Blueprint, I mentioned that I'd been called to move to the edge of Avalon here in the UK, and so in Somerset. And the calling I was quite resistant to, I have to say, although it calibrated well for me, I was resistant for many reasons, including my family, who are all 2 hours away now. And the calling was to go to an energy site here called Burrow Mump. And Burrow Mump is a really interesting point on the Michael Mary line, one of these strong currents of energy that runs right up through from Cornwall across to the east of the UK. And so the Michael Mary line is the weave of the masculine feminine as it undulates its way right across the country. And the crossing point.
And the masculine line is going straight, correct? Or?
No, it's not. There is a line that's been drawn through these points, but they weave like this.
It's a very sinuous weave.
Yeah. And so Burrow Mump is the last crossing point before you get to Glastonbury Tor. And I didn't know Burrow Mump, but anyway, I followed the call, as I have done at various points on my journey. And I went and stood on Burrow Mump and tuned in. And you might find this bit interesting. I don't think I've shared this bit before, but I could hear a hum in the land. Mm-hmm. It was a hum note beneath my feet. And as a humvee, I paid attention to the hum that was going on. And I went and I stood, because the Burrow Mump is a mound in the landscape on a very flat landscape. So, it's just this mound. And on the top, there is a church to St. Michael, but it's semi-derelict. There is still the tower, but all of the roof has been taken off, and it's a ruin. But so I, in hearing the hum, I went and I stood in the tower, and I hummed what I heard in the land, and the tower pulsed, and if I went off the note, the tower went still. And then I'd hum it again, and the tower would go. And it's like, this is really strange. That's the first time I've experienced this.
Wow.
And it was just after that I heard, so I say I'm clairvoyant, I'm not clairvoyant, well, not today, maybe tomorrow. And I'm clairaudient and clairsentient. So I sense things, clairsentient.
Yeah, that's me too, yeah.
And I'm clairaudient. If I'm in the right receptor mode, I often I'll hear the spirit energies communicating with me. Anyway, I'm stood on Burrow Mump, and I hear this voice that says, we are the elemental rose dragons, and we've come from the 5D heart of Gaia, and we're wanting to work with you. We have information for you. So hence started the work that I was drawn to with working with the elements of earth, air, fire, water, and ether. And what I recognized was that on this crossing point, of this crossing point of the masculine and feminine, these four prime elements of earth, air, fire, and water were coming through the crossing point. They were coming in through the currents in the earth. And this was probably 15 months ago now when they communicated with me. And I understood that these currents of energy were waking up. And that when the dragon energy was shut down on Earth, many of the dragons either went underground and they went back down to the heart of Gaia, or others went off to the Pleiades. They removed themselves in the point of the dragon slaying and the dishonoring, and they knew that the frequency of humanity had dropped too low for them to co-create with. And what's happening now with this awakening, synchronistically with the awakening of the divine feminine, is that these currents of energy are starting to be much more active and much more bioavailable, shall I say. There are many more that are working with the land that are becoming really aware of these awakening currents. Now, there's a very interesting chap called Rory Duff who works a lot with the energy currents in the earth. He works with the Emperor Dragon lines. Very, very interesting, very knowledgeable man. And I've had some interesting conversations with him about, particularly about Burramump, because he also lives not that far away. And he talks very much about the crossings of these lines and harmony times, which are the solstices and the equinoxes, when the energy currents in the earth come into harmony.
Yeah.
And what he's saying is that on the crossings of these node points, what he's calling node points on the landscape, when they come into harmony times, a rose opens. And so what happened at Burramump was as the energy lines came into harmony, and I was there carrying the rose consciousness, the rose node opened to allow me to have this connection with these, they said they were elemental rose dragons, and that their particular frequency had connected because I work with the rose and the rose frequency with my mandalas and my rose oracle, and that there were 13 celestial rose dragons that would come in once the elemental rose dragons had anchored their template. And this is 12 around the one. These are 12 qualities around the zero field, the connection all the way through the zero field and the rose dragon of the ethers that runs through the body up through the Shushamna. Those that do yoga will know the Ida Pingala and the Shushamna, the central column that is awakening us to a next level of our evolution here in human form. So that really has been my work and my development for the last 15 months. But of recent times, working with the land and working with clients, we've been working and creating mandalas on the land. And here, where I've been working with the elemental rose dragons to anchor the grid of light that is energetically, quantumly connected to the mandala the client has created on the land. Now, whether that's down in the south of France, whether that's going to be in Spain, whether that's in Ireland, whether that's in Nova Scotia, whether that's down through the States, the combination of the energy of the mandala on the land and the mandala that I'm creating with the elemental rose dragons is enabling a chimney of light that is allowing traumatized earthbound spirits to release in communities. So it is just you know, an amazing pathway that's opened up that I had no idea was heading in my direction. But we just show up, don't we? It's like we show up with the gifts, and the universe will bring a pattern match, will bring something that's energetic. It's all frequency, it's, you know, energetically aligned. It's like for you, you draw in clients and you draw in other architectresses.
Yes.
are frequencing with this vision, that know that there's something more in creating architecture that inspires and expands and offers a template for the most creative and heart-opening space that we can experience this earthly journey in, directly connected to nature and really being able to optimize our health, our wealth, and our relationships.
Oh, I see it. I see it. It is done.
Absolutely.
That's what we're here for. Yeah, yeah, to build the beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's always going to be somebody on the cutting edge. There has to be somebody on the cutting edge that has the vessel that can hold the frequency that allows for the download of the keys and codes to activate it.
Yeah.
And I sense this sort of where there is such an increase in photonic light and the plasma field shifting, but actually things that when these frequency codes come in of potentiality for our human expression, our creative, divine human expression, we are creators. We are creative beings from the creator, right?
Yeah.
We are drops of that essence in this vessel. What magic are we here to create?
And the whole spiritual world is waiting for us, just like the dragons. They say they're not going to go off and do it on their own. They connected with you. They said, we want to work with you. We want to co-create with you. That's and nice. The angels too are looking down on us.
Yeah.
And they're saying, okay, you know, it's such a gift for you to be in this human form.
Mm-hmm.
We're waiting for you. It's your responsibility. We're here to help you.
Yep.
To pave the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's exciting times.
It's so exciting, really exciting times. And I don't look back on my path either. I'm just so, you know, the Pleiades were really a big piece to me quitting my job in conventional architecture. And they really started to communicate, especially through my larynx. They're just like, it was going to explode. And it's still such a mystery to me, to be honest. And but I follow my intuition, and I know what is true, what is good, what is beautiful. And I follow that. I follow that path. And so if any of you are feeling, you know, receiving visions in the night or downloads or maybe getting extremely sick, because that's what was part of my unfoldment and awakening to completely leave the conventional practice and pave the way for the sacred blueprint and co-creating with the spirit of the land. It just
we will get stopped if we're not in right alignment. There will, exactly. You know, there will be a stop in the flow.
Yeah.
And we will be called to pause point. Sometimes that's a physical malady that we experience. But all of that is a divine gift if we listen, if we absolutely do stop and listen.
That's the knock on the door, right? Sometimes it's a very loud one. But spirit is calling you to listen. Yeah. And we have certain stages and phases. It's not like it's done for me or, you know, you, it's an evolution, a constant evolution.
Yeah.
That said, the moment I, you know, that first year when I decided and I made that huge change, it was scary for me, Sandy. You know, I was the only one was working at the time. We were in Canada. My husband wasn't working. He was taking care of my son. And I just felt so guilty. I felt like, oh my God, I'm letting my family down. And I'm doing this whole new thing. What have I done? You know? Mm-hmm. But now those chronic illnesses are gone. I'm much more in my joy, much more in my creative flow. And I'm actually attracting more abundance than I used to in the old paradigm. So yeah, taking the leap, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it is. My daughter would far rather I was making wedding dresses, because actually that's explainable. It's much more within her comfort zone. But following this path of beauty, truth, and love, that is the way of the rose, and that's the way of the heart. That is the way of the Divine Mother, and Magdalene. This is the following of the threads, if you like, that lead us home. It's a sacred homecoming. It has to be a sacred homecoming to self. And once we've come home to ourselves, everything that we create from that space is held with beauty, truth, and love. How can that be wrong?
Yeah. Oh, Sandy, I love it. I could just speak with you forever. All right. Let us know. What are you up to? How can women get in touch with you?
Through my website, rosealchemy.com.
We'll be sharing that in the when we share the episode in all of our social media. I'm writing it down, rosealchemy.com.
Yeah. And the other site that I have is sandyhumby.com.
Yeah.
And I'm in the process of putting a 4-part course together that would outline, you know, my approach of working with spaces and some of the techniques that I've developed. So that's sort of in the works, as well as getting the print run done for the Rose Dragons.
Oh yes.
Because they are for making mandalas and for unblocking, you know, blocks with your work. If you've got a project that's sticky, working with the roses on a grid form, onto the plans, will often unlock. There are all sorts of different ways, energetic ways of working and co-creating with nature. The roses are pure love. They have no other agenda. They are
so beautiful.
Way showers.
Yeah, no, they've been really supportive for me in my personal transformation into another stage of my womanhood. Important stage of my womanhood. Yeah. So I can imagine, when we get really creative with them as architects, you know, because they are architecture of love, right? I love that. Well, so women, I will share Sandy's links within the description of the YouTube video, as well as when we send out the podcast episode to our various platforms. So reach out to Sandy especially if you're someone who is looking to purchase land. Perhaps you've already purchased land and you want to develop some kind of a project there. I recommend you reach out to Sandy for consultations. She's a phenomenal guide and will help to work with that residue and more and much more. Yeah.
It, you know, having a clear template to work with.
Yeah.
The land, you're working with the land, you're working in harmony with the land. And yeah, and also I think it's also something I said before, you know, Mother Earth doesn't want this trauma on her mantle. I know there is, you know, a lot of additional trauma that is being created in what's going on in the world just now. Yeah. But the more that we can clear the trauma, transmute the trauma, and so that we can make things easier for us all.
Oh, such important work. Sandy, it was such an amazing interview. I always love connecting with you, and I look forward to our future co-creation.
Absolutely.
All right. Have a good rest of the day.
Thank you.
Many blessings. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning into the New Earth Architectress. It's my intention to inspire more women architects and designers to come out of hiding and unleash their intuitive powers, to lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and their divine calling, while making a powerful impact on Earth. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on iTunes, and share this episode with women who you know are feeling the nudges to take the big leap and bridge spirit with design. You can find out more about me and the New Earth Architectress movement by visiting aisharosemelodyhassan.com. Until next time, gule gule.